Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, blood, sweat, and data. CaliforniaTriathlon.org, five great 2019 race options, including Viking Dash Trail Run LA on April 7th. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, this last year we sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or at Babbittville.com. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, besides being an endurance athlete, one of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time, seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, 83 wins, 341 top 10s, 34 poles. More importantly, he is training for the Boston Marathon. The legend Jimmy Johnson joins us. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
I am so honored. So knowing a little background, Ricky Johnson, motocross guy, one of the greatest events I ever watched on tape was Ricky against David Bailey, Anaheim Stadium, 1986, Supercross. You remember that one?
I was in the stands watching myself. And in fact, the next day I was able to ride my mini bike on that track. I grew up a huge Rick Johnson fan, and our families knew each other very well, and he kind of helped guide my career through many points along the way. So I was definitely there and tuned in. That was a heck of a battle that night.
That was amazing. David Bailey's one of our favorite guys. He actually went on to win the Ironman World Championship in the hand cycle division. Total.
He is a total badass. I love David Bailey as well.
That is so cool. So you went from riding moto to trucks, and then when you got into racing pavement, did you know right away that this is where I should be?
You know, it's kind of an interesting journey for me. I mean, my moto days involved a lot of fitness, obviously. And then as I moved into car racing, I just had a lot to learn about the vehicles. So, you know, I look back at photos and periods of time in my off-road days where, you know, I was on top of fitness. And then I see some photos where I definitely wasn't. And then when I transitioned from off-road trucks and dirt racing to asphalt, I had to start that process all over again. So, you know, it's come in and out of my life. It's always been an interest to me, but at times I just didn't have the time. And being where I am today and accomplished and can set my schedule a little bit easier than my younger days and having to say yes to everyone, endurance sport has become a big part of my life. I don't get to compete as often as I would like because my car race schedule has me racing all the time. But I put in plenty of miles on the bike and on foot. I swam in high school. We've got a great endurance culture here in the NASCAR garage area with drivers and crew members that like to beat ourselves up on Fridays and Saturdays when the garage is closed down. So it's been a really nice transition for me and kind of not a distraction, but a way to learn more about myself mentally, physically, my nutrition, my hydration, and an escape from the pressure of a race weekend.
Has the fitness the side of it in NASCAR, has that changed? I mean, you've been doing this 17 years. I can't imagine back in the day that a lot of those guys were doing a lot when it came to endurance or training.
No, I mean, there were always guys that stood out. You know, Mark Martin, Dale Jarrett. There were guys that wanted to prolong their careers and worked hard at it. But I think, you know, the cars were pretty easy to break, and there wasn't the demand on the driver like you have today, and the intensity wasn't there. So during my career, I've watched it go from, you know, you had a couple of the old dogs like Mark Martin that was just crazy about his fitness, and he was kind of an outlier, to now, you know, everybody has some kind of routine and expectations from their team to be in shape. So, you know, times have changed a lot, and I think the fact that the cars are now the strongest piece has led to that.
So when I see you running a 1:33 half marathon and running between, you know, 70 miles a week and gearing up for Boston, first, what was it about Boston for this year? And I know it fits in the years, but I think you're racing like 9 weeks in a row, and Boston just happens to fit because your race that weekend is a Saturday night, and so you can race Boston on Monday. But what was the reason for Boston?
Yeah, it was really just scheduling-wise. I've done a half Ironman, and I was able to do that in early January, 4 or 5 years ago. And I've been able to hit a few halves at the end of the car racing season, and have run down around a 127 a couple times. The half in Daytona to start the year was nice. The racetrack was was nice enough to move the schedule around to where the car drivers could participate in it this year. So I used it as a training day. Wasn't tapered or anything, so still ran a 1:33 and was excited about that. I've enjoyed the small events that I've done. That 70.3 in Naples was probably the largest event that I participated in. And the energy, the people, the camaraderie, you know, there's just something really cool about these endurance events that I love to be a part of. And I've always had my eye on a major marathon. And just the way the schedule unfolds, and being on a Monday, I race Saturday night, I'll have Sunday to recover, or somewhat recover. It just seems like the right thing to do.
So it's funny. I just had David Goggins on the radio show a few weeks ago, and I heard that he came down and spoke to you guys. Following a David Goggins training program for something like Boston means you're running the first mile in 5 minute pace, and then you're getting faster throughout the day. You seem like a sponge, like the type of guy who wants to learn from everybody. What do you take away from a David Goggins?
You know, it's crazy in life how things enter your life at the right point in time and when it's needed. And, of course, I knew David's name. I didn't know his story all that closely, but our upper management at Hendrick Motorsports contacted me and said, hey, we're going to have this speaker come in, this guy named David Goggins. He's got a data kill on Monday, and I guess he's some kind of endurance runner, and you're the only one we know that runs long enough that we can put with him if you want to go for a run with him. And I'm like, heck yeah, put me in. So my coach and I went and ran with him, and, you know, I had great experience being around him and getting to know him a little bit. Heard him speak the following day. I quickly then downloaded his book.
Yeah.
And have been running a lot of my big runs, listening to his book and various podcasts that he's been on. And I think we all crave a certain level of self-help, but there's always too much foo-foo that comes with the majority of the stuff, in my opinion, at least what I've been able to see and listen to. And David and his story just has a level of no BS that I really like and find motivating. So, he wore me out on that 20-mile run that we did, and I've stayed in touch with him since, and I've been kind of channeling his spirit when I'm in those, you know, two-a-days or end of a long run, and the mind needs to be calloused over. I can channel that and push through.
I love how you balance things where you go, okay, I've got 35 minutes free. I'm going to go and get 5 miles in. And you might go off and run 4 or 5 miles a few times a day. It surprised me to see the amount of miles you're doing. That seven, you're hoping to gear up to get to like 100 miles or so leading into Boston.
Yeah, you know, that's one benefit of running. I've been cycling a lot over the last couple of years until I committed to Boston. And you get to a point where you kind of need a two-hour ride or just a gnarly one-hour ride. And you know, to find those blocks of time are hard, but, you know, running, it's really opened my mind back up to that, man. For me, I think 4 miles is kind of the minimum. If I can go out and bang out 28 minutes or 30 minutes, like, you're getting a fitness boost and you're helping yourself. And that's really the beauty of running. All you need is a pair of shoes and 30 minutes and you're on your road.
So how does the fitness help you as a driver?
I really feel that the commitment to being fit is, there's discipline and work ethic and all those important tools that are required in being a world-class professional. I don't think it matters the discipline. And that space is very similar. You know, the mental space it takes to be a top NASCAR driver is the same thing as it takes to commit to a marathon and get ready for it. So I feel like I'm spending more time in that zone mentally and getting stronger. And, it doesn't guarantee you success on track, but, you know, it is one thing that I know that helps me.
So with Boston, is the goal to go sub-3?
You know, it has been. I've run into some complications with injuries and I haven't run in 6 days because of a cold. So I don't know how that's going to play out. I know I'm going to leave it all out there.
Yeah.
But I've lost probably a month worth of training through three injuries and then this cold. And I tried to run this morning, and I couldn't stop coughing. So I still think I need another day or two to let this virus pass through. So, you know, my spirits are a little low on that front because I am a competitor, and you know, I would really like to get close to that or break it. Maybe it's a little unrealistic for my first full. And I do believe I've underestimated the wear and tear on the body that getting ready for a full requires. But I'm learning, and if I don't hit, you know, that three-hour mark in this one, this isn't the last marathon for me, and I'm going to work hard to eclipse that one day.
If Goggins runs with you during the marathon, you're going to run 2:30. You know that.
Oh, man, you'll run your feet right off your body.
And I love the fact you went, you know, you jumped into a half Ironman. You went 4:42. I mean, that's real stuff when you're going that fast. When you're running 1:33 half and you're going 4:42 for a half Ironman, I mean, you're not just an endurance guy dabbling. You're doing really, really well. Do you see yourself down the line doing a full Ironman, going to Kona?
Yeah, it's in my head. I really love those goals and want to work towards them. And we'll see what life brings, but yeah, it's definitely on my radar. The one thing I've learned about triathlon, I have so much respect for all athletes, but to try to be on your game for three disciplines and to overlay that volume and training and speed work and gym work, that's a lot. It's been really nice just to focus on one discipline and get ready for just a marathon.
So when you look at your career, was there one driver that you had a rivalry with, or you raced, you guys went head-to-head all the time?
No, I can't say it's been one. I mean, the one constant has been myself, though.
Yeah.
I didn't have instant success. I wasn't the standout racer through my years. You know, I did well, and I won occasionally, but people just admired the way I went about my business and the commitment that I had, and the commitment and work ethic opened doors and led me to a chance of a lifetime at Hendrick Motorsports. And, you know, so that's kind of my journey. And within that, you know, there's, you know, I've got my own story within all that. So it's been an interesting ride to get where I am today.
The other thing I love that you do is you have your own foundation. Talk a little bit about that and what you're doing through your foundation.
Yeah, the NASCAR space is filled full of drivers and teams and sponsors that want to give back. My wife and I both independently were giving back when we were younger, and then once we were together, we continued to support various charities. And I had another driver in the garage area walk me through what a foundation would look like and how my fans and sponsors would support it, and we could do more. And we quickly jumped on board with that and formed the Jimmy Johnson Foundation. We've worked with a lot of great charities. I built an entire block in my hometown with Habitat for Humanity. It was probably one of our first larger projects. But recently we've been very focused on public education in the area. I grew up in San Diego, where my wife is from, in Oklahoma, and then where we live in North Carolina. And, you know, I guess 11 or 12 years and almost $13 million raised. It's been
wow.
A great journey, and to know that we're making a difference, it puts a big smile on our faces.
So Gatorade, you've been with Gatorade for 15 years, I think. And they send out their Gatorade Sports Science Institute folks to work with you on sweat rate, the type of stuff they do with Lionel Sanders and Serena Williams and all their elite endurance type of athletes. What did you learn from that?
I learned that I sweat way too much.
It makes a huge difference.
Man, it does. I'm on the high side. You know, in the controlled environment we had, it was 54 ounces an hour. And it was, you know, it was in the 70s and like 50% humidity. So when you look at, I'm thankful I'm doing a spring marathon and not a summer, because I would have to stop at every aid station and pound a bottle of Gatorade to continue on. So to have that game plan, I didn't anticipate it being that much. So I hear the race starts at mile 20 or 21,
yep.
Especially Boston, after you get over Heartbreak Hill. So to make sure that I feel as I need to, I'm glad that Gatorade offered their endurance team to come and spend that time with me so I can figure out my volume and also my sweat rate. I lose a lot of salt along the way, too.
So their three-part series formulated for Boston is covering you, and they've already got the first one is out, and they'll be doing one, another one leading in, and then one as a post-event. But it seems like you're one of the first guys from NASCAR. You're the only NASCAR driver to host SportsCenter, and you stepped out of just being a NASCAR guy to being an endurance guy, right? Not just an endurance guy, to being a mainstream athlete. People started looking at NASCAR guys as athletes. Is that a part of your legacy that you're proud of?
Yeah, I mean, definitely is, and I think it's still kind of growing and evolving. And what's cool in my eyes is it's something that I'm genuinely interested in. And I think any athlete, as you start to have success and opportunities come with that, you know, you try to maximize what works for you. And some things are very natural and easy to do. Other things are not. I look at it as probably not the best example, but, you know, a lot of athletes and celebrities that go do Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
That's just not my cup of tea. I'm not that, like, on guy and want to dance and love the spotlight like that. So I feel that, you know, for me, you know, the endurance world is something that I'm passionate about, and I think that shines through. And it's a true story. You know, it's what I'm really engaged in and involved with. So, but, you know, you have to look at the opportunities, and the host Sports Center was super cool. I've done some various TV shows. I think if you look closely enough, you'll see that I may be a little uncomfortable. But, you know, it just comes with the territory and trying to you know, look at yourself as a brand at times and grow that.
And also grow the sport and grow the awareness of the sport beyond just the NASCAR faithful. When you're Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year, that's a big deal. That raises not just your profile, but the profile of the entire sport.
No, you're so right. I was going to bring that up, and then you did as well. That was a huge day for NASCAR, for car racing. And even though there was plenty of athletes that spoke up after that, were like, what? How is a NASCAR guy, you know, put us in that mainstream conversation? And I don't think our sport gets the respect it deserves. But anytime I'm able to bring somebody from, you know, the world of athletics and give them a ride or let them drive a car, or just get up and close and personal with our sport for a weekend, it quickly shifts their mindset.
You are going to have such a great time running through Wellesley, running through all the Newton Hills. There's something special about Boston, especially for your first marathon, and you want to enjoy every second of that thing.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm pretty sure I'm going without headphones just so I can enjoy all the energy and cheering and just the stuff. You know, I'm so excited to go do this.
So the long run so far has been 22 miles?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's you're golden, 22. And you know what? It's interesting. Right now, you're basically tapering, right? When you get sick a month out, that's not really a bad thing. It sort of forces you to relax a little bit. So then you can do your last build going into race day, and you're gonna be fine. You're gonna love every second of it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We definitely have a last build going on. I had an IT band issue for 3 weeks that really slowed down any speed work. I can still kind of get the volume in and limp through it, but anything with a full stride or a faster cadence really upset my IT band. So I feel like I am playing a bit of catch-up still, but there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, it just is what it is, and I've learned a very valuable lesson that, you know, you really put yourself through a lot getting ready for a full, and injuries, a weak immune system. You know, I had a huge volume week last week that had my immune system beat down, and I picked up a virus, and it got the best of me. It's just the way it is.
Sometimes people, you were so successful training as a multi-sport guy and running 133 half and things like that. Sometimes people tend to go, okay, if I really want to run fast, I just got to run. And we forget the benefit of the swim and the bike and the weights and the rest of it, because that keeps you from getting injured.
Yeah, injury and you know, the speed work really carries over for me. I feel like running hills, as painful as it is, the following week I see a pickup in pace. I've also felt like lower strength work. I know it's good for me when I'm cycling, but I don't see the immediate correlation on the bike that I do in running. So for running, you know, 100 lunges, 50 deep squats, calf raises, you know, if I do that a couple times a week after runs at a minimum, I can see an increase in pace and strength when I'm running. You know, it takes that whole full circle. And then the benefits of swimming, you know, thankfully I learned my swim stroke in high school at a young age, but it's a great recovery tool. It's a great fitness booster. It stretches you out. It's full body. You know, it does a lot for you.
So when you look at you got ninth to begin the season at Daytona, you're 43 years old, you're still loving it. How long do you want to race?
I'm going to race for a long time. I have some other goals outside of NASCAR that I want to participate in some cool events, different kinds of cars, different countries. So I'm committed to Hendrick Motorsports through this season and next. And I'll sit down next year with my family and we'll take a look at it, if we continue in NASCAR or if we turn the page and move into that next chapter in life.
Jimmy, it is such an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking so much time. Have a great time at Boston. And when you when the time is right, I'm sure we'll see you in Kona doing the Big Daddy.
I can't wait, man. I appreciate you having me on the show, and I hope to meet up with you face-to-face someday soon.
We'll be in Boston. If you have time, we'd love to have you on our show in Boston. It would be an honor.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Looking for you. Thanks, sir.
Again, we're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, VeloFix.com, Polar, CaliforniaTriathlon.org, by our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've now raised over $100 million and sent out over 23,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.